Blog Talk Radio.
Break. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all this morning to the Lord and give him my absolute hallelujah praise. But there is none like our God. I surrender all. Call on the Lord and he will answer you is what God gave me this morning. Call on the Lord and he will answer you. God is in control of everything, our good, our bad, and our ugly. Remember, everything you go through is because God is making you stronger. He's making you wiser. He's making you tougher. You know, as Pastor Sapp said, I'm wiser. We got to be wiser because we go through. We go through because God is making us stronger. 12 years ago, when I lost my husband, I was a mess. And honestly, I was a mess up until very recently. Because when you marry your best friend, you are a mess. Because you lose more than just a mate. You lose your confidant. You lose the best friend that you have. But then I realized that Jesus is the best friend that's ever happened to me. Jesus is the best thing, and he is my best friend. And I had to come to that realization. It took me a minute. God called me from my darkest place into his marvelous light. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed every day to have another day. On my job, I'm taking, just finished the class on dementia and Alzheimer's. And then I thought about how would I feel if I couldn't remember God? How would I feel if I couldn't remember my children? And I thought, wow, that would be the most, that would be the hardest thing to ever go through, to not remember God, to not remember how to say the name of Jesus. I pray every day for those that are suffering the attack where they can't remember. We all go through from being tired where we can't remember the words. We can't remember a scripture. We can't remember, oh, Lord, I can't remember. What am I trying to say? But just imagine a fog over your brain and not being able to remember how to say God, or how to say the name of Jesus. And as I was studying, that went through my mind. It's like, Lord, I pray every day for those that suffer Alzheimer's and dementia. Love on your mothers and your fathers. Love on your children, because dementia starts as young as 40 up to the 70s. It can happen to anyone, but we pray and we bind that spirit of confusion in Jesus' name. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that when we call on you, God, you answer. When we give our all to you, God, you give us all and more back. Father God, I lift up this mighty and awesome word this morning, Lord God, asking you to give us clarity of it. Give us clarity in mind, clarity in understanding, oh God. Let every word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to know, Lord God, that you have always been in control, that the enemy cannot do anything unless you allow it or unless we allow it. Father God, we bind all those craziness, the craziness that is happening in our world today. We are binding those spirits of confusion, the spirits that cause dissension, the spirits that cause chaos in our lives and in our world. Father God, we are binding spirits today that have no place in the churches, in the Congress, on our planet, God. We are losing faith. We are losing hope. We are losing love. We are losing you, God. We are losing you, God. We are losing you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to permeate every home, to permeate the airways, the name of Jesus, so that demons are fleeing all over. We call on the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior today. We lift up our senior citizens, asking you, Father, to cover them. Cover them in their coming in and their going out. Cover our children, God, in their going in and their coming out. Lord, let no more children be killed in this schoolhouse, where they are afraid to go to school, God. We are lifting up our babies today. And Lord God, as we lift up this world and those that are in it, we call on the name of Jesus. And Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease them all. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength. You've been my strength in the wee hours. You've been my strength in the late night. You've been my strength in my coming in and my going out. You are my strength now. And again, Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And let these words and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, Lord, are my redeemer. And as Israel Houghton says, that the redeemed of the Lord say, so I am redeemed. And I thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I know I sound better today than I have all week. Still got a little bit of congestion, but I am believing God for complete and total healing in Jesus' name, that I will get through, hallelujah, the rest of this word this year. We will, on December 31st, God will read Revelation chapter 22, ending in verse 21, where we will all say the great together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen, as you start another year. We are believing, God, that we will get through this Bible that we started on January 1st in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We will get through it. I'm believing God for it. That when we said on January 1st, very first word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm believing God to complete this Bible in this 1 year that we started. And I'm excited. Every word, even what some would call the boring scriptures, which we found out are not boring at all. There is nothing boring about the Bible. So get your word out, because this is Bible study. So get your Bible, get that basic instruction before leaving Earth, because we know this is not our home. At least one day it will not be. Whew. And then we'll be back, as the word says. So we are going to get started. Get your Bible. I'm saying it again, get your Bible. And my daily disclaimer, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Again, I am not paid by his ministry to hawk this Bible, but I will tell you, it is Bible to have in your biblical arsenal, and you need to get it. You need to get it, because when you just need a word to meditate on and just to chew on, this Bible is so awesome because Dr. Stanley has broken it down, and his words of life lessons and answers to life questions, and they just seem they permeate your spirit. So I will say to all of you, get this Bible. It is worth it to have. And so I'm grateful to God that he led me to this Bible. It has gotten me through, because there's been times I'm like, wow, God, thank you. Thank you so much. And so I'm blessed. Blessed to be a blessing and blessed to be a child of God. So let's get started. We are in the book of Jeremiah. And today we will be in Jeremiah chapter 33 through chapter 36. And we do not have a New Testament word today because we read it on yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, Timothy, get your book. Just get your Bible. First Timothy yesterday was an awesome word. You know, and I love how Paul told us in First Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. You know, Dr. Stanley gave us this life lesson for that verse yesterday that says the modern church has largely lost the art of pondering God's word, mulling it over, letting it simmer, and focusing prolonged attention on it. But hard thinking remains a crucial part in becoming more like Christ. Excuse me, y'all. As I said, keep me in prayer. I'm going to get rid of this awful thing. Please, y'all, don't listen to craziness. Get your vaccinations. They really are important. I got sick before I got mine, but I understand, you know, when you have grandchildren who are out and about in school with other kids, you're going to get sick. And that's how I got mine, from my grandson, who was loving on me and coughing on me and putting all his little germs all over his grandma. But you know what? It's all right, because I'm going to be all right, because I trust God. Right? So, again, everybody got your Bibles now. And the word of God in Jeremiah, coming to Jeremiah, said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. It's like, bam, right in your face. Call to me, and this is where our word comes from this morning. Call to me, I'm saying it one more time. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. We got to call to the Lord, and he will show us things we don't know. I thank you, God. I call to you, Lord, today. But thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men and whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those graces as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Thus says the Lord again. There shall be heard in this place, of which you say, it is desolate without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and all are desolate, without man and without inhabitants and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. For his mercy endures forever. And those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowlands, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, the flock shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called. I had never seen that. And I got to go to my King James because I have never seen the word she. Hold on. Get my other Bible out. You got to have more than one. King James, where are you? You come back. Judah will be saved. She. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I need the clarity there. Like what? Judah will be called she. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne. And that has got to be a typo. Jeremiah chapter 30. Again, this is Bible study, so we will take a minute and look something up to make sure that we got it right. Ever want to read the Word of God and something be wrong in it? Because that's why you have more than one version. You have King. I like New King James because it's just easier to read on the radio, but I am a King James reader, so don't get it twisted. I do read King James. And I will read King James, because when we read King James, we go back and we look to make sure what we are reading is the same. Because the Word of God, let's call it straight, there have been versions that if you read it, you're like, wait a minute, that is not right. And it is she will be called the Lord of our righteousness. But thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me. He's wanting purity. He is wanting us to walk in righteousness. And I'm going back and read verse 14 from King James. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to set up on the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifices continually. Did you catch that? You don't see sheep and cattle coming before God anymore, right? God talks about it in this book. Nor shall the priests of Levites like a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings and to sacrifice continually. He gave his son so we don't have to do this anymore. He gave Jesus as the absolute sacrificial lamb, the last sacrifice, and tore the veil. And as we go through Jeremiah, and it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may be also broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, the Levites who minister to me, and the Levites who minister to me. Who praise the Lord? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off. Thus they have despised my people as if they should no more be a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David, my servants, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captives to return and will have mercy on them. And let's go back and read some life lessons from this word this morning. Jeremiah 33:6, I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. For such a dark book, Jeremiah has some blinding bright spots. God desires to bring us health and healing, not sickness and injury. He wants to shower us with peace and truth, not keep either from us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Jeremiah 33:9, they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. When will we learn that the heart of God yearns to lavish on his obedient people joy, praise, honor, goodness, and prosperity? He does not wait in heaven just itching for us to fall, but rather longs to do good to us. I believe that. But God will take you through to make you stronger, because iron sharpens iron. And I believe that God, that sometimes we have to go through. And when we do, it makes us stronger, and it gives us the faith to understand we don't walk by ourselves. We walk with the Lord, and that he is never going to leave us or forsake us. Why? Because his word says so. And when we stand on his word, he does answer. He does respond. And this is what Dr. Simmons says in this life question. How can I make my prayer life fresh and new? And I love how he goes and he tells us the prophet Jeremiah was not a popular man. He was not. They couldn't stand him. That's why he was in prison. Because he told the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth. They're trying to fight They said you need to just pack up and get yourself together because you're going into captivity for 70 years. Don't listen to them liars. Don't listen to the proper liars out there telling you something else, because that's not what's going to happen. And folks was mad. The king was mad. People mad. Everybody mad at Jeremiah. But the truth is the truth, and you can't change it. You can try to make a lie to the truth, but God will show you up and show out on you. And it goes on to say the prophet Jeremiah was not a popular man. When he declared the truth God had given him, that Judah would soon start 70 long years of captivity. The people threw him into prison. Yet in such dire circumstances, Jeremiah learned something profound about prayer. In Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, established it, the Lord is his name, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Prayer, you know, my pastor says this all the time, prayer changes things. More prayer, more power. You know, less prayer, less power. He tells us all the time. And I love the fact that, you know, on Tuesdays we have prayer. You know, and she's trying to encourage congregational prayer on a regular. We need to listen. You know, I'm be honest, I don't always make it, but I do try to make some part of it before I have choir rehearsal. Because prayer does change things. Prayer is a very real part of a vital relationship with God. It is not for some special spiritual elite. It is for all of us. Three principles within these verses can transform your old notions about prayer into something fresh and new. So you want to get a piece of paper, you write these down. First, God says, call to me. He wants to hear from you. His all-loving, omnipotent heart desires to hear your innermost thoughts and feelings. He wants to hear from you in the hard times, when life is going smoothly. In fact, your sweetest times of prayer happen when you come before him simply to praise and worship and give thanks for what he has done. Just tell God, thank you. Because you don't know, I'm thanking God for every breath I'm taking right now. Thank you, Lord. Second, God says, I will answer you. Do you believe that? Perhaps you once asked God for something he did not give you. Excuse me, family. And since then, you have harbored secret worries that he did not hear or did not care to answer. But one thing I learned, I was here. God didn't answer one of my major prayers. But then I realized, yes, he did. Because the prayer was the Lord's prayer. And I said, your will be done. And God's will was done. Whenever you pray the Lord's prayer, remember that. Your will be done. When I call, he answers. Your will, not mine, God, but your will be done. Do you believe perhaps you once asked God for something he did not give you, and since then you have harbored secret words that he did not hear or did not care to answer? But God instead said to you, I will answer you. That answer may not take the form you anticipated, I'm telling you, or come when you desire, been there, but he will respond. He might say yes, no, or wait. You may not understand the reasons behind his answer, but you can trust that they are best for you. Romans 8 and 28. Whatever you ask, what's it say? Oh, God, thank you. We got to have that in our spirit. We got to have a Romans 8 and 28 in our spirit. Because God wants, he wants to do for us. He wants to love on us. He wants the best for us. You know, he wants to answer our prayers. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. God is wanting to work all things out for our good. We can trust that word. Third, God says, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You have finite wisdom and understanding. God knows all. He knows the big picture. You see merely a teeny piece. When you ask him to guide you, he works to direct you as part of his higher vision and calling. If you take that first step of calling out to him, prayer can become an important part of a dynamic relationship with Almighty God. Do it today. He waits to hear the voice. Are you praying? I know somebody is, because I'm feeling better by the minute. And all I can say is thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for me. Hallelujah. Chapter 34 of Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem. And all the cities saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon. He shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to Babylon. And hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you. You shall not die by the sword. You shall die in peace and as in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings whom were before you, so they shall burn incense for you and lament for you, saying, alas, Lord. For I have pronounced the word, says the Lord. Then Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah that were left against Lachish and Ekron, for only these fortified cities remained in the cities of Judah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female servant, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now when all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return whom they had set free and brought them into the subjugation as male and female slaves. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, at the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother, who has been sold to him. And when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey you, nor incline their ears. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight. Every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure and brought them back into subjugation to be your male and female slaves. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every one to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine, And I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the gap in two and passed between the parts of it, the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of that calf, I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hands of their enemies, into the hands of those who seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which has gone back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to this city. They will fight against it and take it and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitants. Don't make covenants with God that you are not going to keep. Don't. And then I'm gone. And make a vow. Because as we've read in our word, don't make vows you can't keep. Do not make a vow to God that you do not keep. Because believe me, it will not be well with you. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 36, chapter 36. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of Rehoboth, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziah, his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Then I said before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, both full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, but Jenadab, the son of the calf, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in the tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of the calf, our father, and all that he charged us. Drink no wine all our days. Excuse me, family. Our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor do build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have a vineyard field or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell in Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, not perform, for to this day that they drink none, and they obey their father's commandments. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed my meek surely. The son of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandments of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Wow. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive our sins. He wants us to walk in righteousness. But we choose not to. That's a choice we make, to not walk in righteousness. He said, I propose to bring upon them all these things, all the adversities God was proposing to bring upon Israel. They had an opportunity. Judah and Israel had an opportunity not to have those things happen. This is what he said. It may be that the house of Judah would hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sins. God wants to forgive us. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Nerah, and Barak, wrote on the scroll of a book and the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord in the hearing of all the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch, the son of Nerah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court, in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber. There all the princes were sitting. Elishama, the scribe, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Ekbar, Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudah, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Jelemiah, the son of Cushai, to Barak, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. So brought the son of Nero the scroll in his hand and came to them, and they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Barak read it in their hand. And it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear for one another and said to Barak, you will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words in this instruction? So Barak answered them, he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them in the book. Then the princess said to Barak, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Lishma, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehu to bring the scroll and took it from Lishma, the scribe's chamber. And Jehu read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood before the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with the fire burning on the hearth before him, and it happened when Jehu had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments. The king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, Jeremiah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Shariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Barak, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Barak had written, all the instructions of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll, and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written it in that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause men and beasts to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on all the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed. Then Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Barak, the scribe, the son of Nero, who wrote on it the instructions of Jeremiah, all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. Whew, don't play with God, because he is not going to play with us. And to go back to his word, a few life lessons from Jeremiah chapter 35. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 36 and 7. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil ways. Since we never know when someone has crossed the point of no return, we should always urge men and women to repent and return to the Lord so that he might heal them. We must repent. Repentance, what God asks of us. If you mess up, repent and clean up. Whew, and some of us have a lot more cleaning up to do than others. But we still got to get to it. King Jehoiakim, God's word stands. The evil King Jehoiakim of Judah proves that while someone may physically destroy the pages of the Bible, no one may prevent the fulfillment of even a single word spoken by the mouth of God. His word stands regardless of what men may do. I'm going to say that again. The Lord's word, this book, has stood the test of time. This book is still number one on the bestseller list. This book will be here when we are in our grave. This book will stand. Enemy and no forces in hell can stop this book from moving forward. This book from being read. This book from going into the next generation and the generations to come, because God created it. Hallelujah. God's word will be fulfilled. And I don't care how you try to change it, how you try to clean it up, move it here, move it there, God's word will stand. You got every kind of version you can imagine out there, but God's word is going to stand. And this is what it says. When Jehoiakim heard words of divine judgment pronounced on him and his wicked kingdom, the king took the offending scroll, cut it with the scribe's knife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll had consumed. He did so probably to show his contempt for the messenger and to demonstrate his lack of regarding the message. His mistake. Excuse me. God let the king's insolence stand for 7 years. But when he refused to repent, the Lord fulfilled every threat that he had made regarding the king. God always keeps his promises, whether for blessing or for judgment. And the choice, honestly, is ours. Do you choose God or do you choose the world? They were not afraid. Jeremiah 36:24, until God actually comes in judgment, it is possible to mock his word and ridicule his servants right up until the flood waters arrive. It is possible to doubt his existence until one's own comes into question. And like I said, you know, I've talked about it before. You know, a commercial is out there for atheists. And they have Ronald Reagan's son, Ron Reagan Jr., out there telling us that he's not afraid of hell. Well, I tell you, I am. And you can talk all that talk, but until you are at death's door and the fires of hell are on your heels, then you tell me that you don't believe in God. Because I believe in the Most High God, and I know that my God, when I call on him, he answers me. And I'm believing him for so many things in my life. I'm believing God, and I'm trusting God, and I know that God can and will make a way out of no way. And a word that Sister Carolyn has for us today is right on point. Faith opens the doors for God to move. Woo! Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. And it's always before we get out of here, not always, but we try to have a prayer. And our prayer for this morning, coming out of our 365 days of prayer for life, is this. Self-discipline. Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, and self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. But when we call on him, he will answer. It's called God of power. You are my strength. You have everything I need to face any situation. When I come up against temptations that promote my own confidence and do nothing to benefit anyone, may I be rooted in your grace. I know your grace empowers me in every situation. With your help, I can assert self-control. I am quick to rave about the night-forming fruit of the Spirit, but self-control is often left out. However, when I practice it, the intentionality feels like freedom. So I'm grateful for your wisdom that pushes me outside of my comfort zone and leads me into greater freedom in you. Your ways are better than my own. I submit myself to you again, knowing that what you require is for my benefit. Let my life be full of intention and purpose. You are my great reward and worth every sacrifice I could ever bring. And the question for this morning is, again, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. How does self-discipline make space in your life? Something to think about. And that's all I have this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak that has a word that God has given you, we have a few minutes left. The number to dial is 213-943-3597. Push the number 1 and your line will. And if we have no one that has been given a word this morning, I pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Remember, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord, and he will answer you. Keep trusting in God and watch him work in your life. That is all I have this morning. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. Have a blessed day. Continue keeping me in your prayers. We're going to get over this off a cold because I know that God has got me covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I am set free, hallelujah, and I am better in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, family. And again, please continue to keep Mother Rita, Sister Carolyn, and her family and their family in your prayers. Keep our family in your prayers. Mother Rita, for all of those that know who she has been with us since day one. And she is ready to go. So I will just say, keep her in your prayers, that God's will be the will of what she prays. So we're going to keep trusting God, but keep her in your prayers for God's will to be done in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, family. We love you all. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Thank you all for listening in. Have a great and wonderful day. Enjoy your day with God. Spend some time with him in prayer. Call on the Lord and watch him answer. But he loves you more than you can ever imagine. It's a wrap.